Hey, you want that to go?
And our takeouts on stories we want you to stay on top of begin in Washington, where we go live now to the Senate floor, where Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, is getting ready to unveil a Democratic health care bill.
Do you think your Wu-Tang sword can defeat me?
On guard. So, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, it's getting pretty tense down there in Washington with Harry Reid getting ready to unveil this bill. What's going on?
Is that Harry Reid in the Killer Bees?
That's pretty maybe impressive. Not. Maybe actually, maybe not. Maybe that was wrong.
Hey, John. Good morning. Harry Reid spokesman last night said that the majority leader will unveil the Senate version of the health care bill tonight. He'll share it with Democrats sometime this evening and then hopefully have a news conference after that to unveil the bill. So he's trying to set it up to have the first procedural votes potentially this weekend.
The Baucus bill was the committee bill, and there are going to be some modifications based on what the House did. And that's the Harry Reid bill, and that's what we're going to take a look at later on today or later on this week. But the Democrats are also hard at work on some other sort of project here, right?
Well, look, the Democrats know, everybody knows that unemployment is 10.2%. And what the Democrats do know is that they hold the White House and they hold the Congress. And if unemployment stays that high in the next election, they're the ones who are going to pay the price, not to mention all the millions of Americans who are unemployed. So what they're doing is they're hard at work on a jobs bill. It's starting to be all about jobs. They got to fix this problem. Let me go quick to House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer confirming that, in fact, they're working on another jobs bill. Here's Hoyer.
As long as employment stays at the level it is, consumer confidence will not be restored, and we will not have the kind of recovery that we want to have.
All right, so Hoyer says the House will pass a jobs bill, John, before they leave for Christmas, and it's going to contain probably small business tax credits, some unemployment insurance extensions, a lot of spending on highways. What it won't contain is the S word on Capitol Hill. Stimulus. So they're not calling it a stimulus.
All right,
Absolutely not.
So they're not creating infrastructure jobs or handing out stimulus checks in this bill.
Not infrastructure jobs or stimulus checks. They're going to try to spend some stimulus checks probably on highway projects and things like that. You know Republicans are going to jump all over more spending. So they're calling it a jobs bill, not a stimulus bill. But they're really trying to do something quickly if they can to get those unemployment numbers down. I'm sure to help Americans get more jobs. But also Democrats have to inoculate themselves from high unemployment
jobs
numbers.
Bill and health care there on Capitol Hill in the Senate. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd.
Well, they may not be talking about stimulus checks, but we are today with Louise Story, a finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Louise, good morning. Many people got that check in the mail from the government as part of the stimulus package, and now we're hearing from the Inspector General, the Treasury Department, that some people are going to have to pay it back.
Call it the fake stimulus. Unfortunately, for some people, they've received too much stimulus. And so there's some good examples.
Overstimulated.
And the Inspector General has laid out some examples of the types of people that may have to pay a higher tax bill. So, for instance, a worker who has two jobs may have gotten credit. You may have gotten the $400 boost two times. Or a student, right? A student who works may have gotten this $400 boost. But if that student's parents claim him as a dependent, he doesn't get
he
to keep that.
He now owes $400.
And the problem is a lot of these people are the very ones who might need it the most. I mean, if you're working two jobs, you may really need this money and you may have gone on and spent, you know, accordingly. So I contacted the Treasury Department. I said, do you have any issues with this Inspector General report?
You should say the Treasury Department as opposed to the IRS, right?
Right. But of course, in the Treasury Department oversees taxation.
Right.
So I contacted them to see what they thought about the Inspector General report,
right,
because the IG is separate.
Right.
And they did not dispute any of the examples that he gave of the types of people who would have to give money back. But they did say that they calculate that more than 110 million families have benefited from as much as $60 in additional take-home pay each month. I kind of wonder if they shouldn't be careful with their numbers after what we've seen with these job numbers, job creation numbers being questioned a lot. But that's what they said.
They mean in terms of tax cut, that there's $60 each month less that they're paying in taxes.
Right. They're saying because of this boost, more than 110 million families have benefited, but they didn't dispute the IG's claims.
Yeah, so. But we're still talking about 15 million taxpayers.
That's
possibly,
right. Fake
who,
stimulus.
Who could owe
fake
money. Thanks
stimulus.
Very much. That's Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times.
The government giveth, the government taketh away. Our final takeaway comes from Elizabeth Rosenthal, writer for the New York Times, who's talking about the environment this morning. Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, carbon offsets were originally an innovative way of putting money aside to clean up messes that businesses and individuals make with carbon emissions, et cetera. You write that those carbon offsets are actually not working very well. What are your examples?
Well, I think there are a couple of examples that we've seen in the recent years. One is particularly with things like tree planting projects. The band Coldplay early on, about 4 or 5 years ago, wanted to offset a concert tour with tree planting in India, and it was found some years later that those trees had all died. So the message isn't that carbon offsetting is a bad idea. It's that if it's not done properly, you can inadvertently not solve the problem.
So just like Coldplay's music is overrated, their carbon offset program was also overrated there with those mango trees. How do you incentivize people to stick with carbon offsets?
Well, I think there's a confidence-building issue and also, more important, an educational issue for people to understand what these products do and don't do. The big British travel company, ResponsibleTravel.com, decided not to offer them anymore. They were one of the first to start offering them because they decided that it was just too easy. You check a box at the bottom of your ticket, and then you think, oh, I can fly more, when the purpose of an offset should really be first you try and reduce your emissions, and then what you can't reduce, you offset by doing good works elsewhere.
Right, and making it harder is also a sign that it's a much more complex problem. Elizabeth Rosenthal, writer for the New York Times on carbon offsets, thanks for that.